KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 37 degrees. We look for light rain possible today, a high of 47. Radar shows some widely scattered light rain, most of that probably not even making it to the ground. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Creston police say four incidents of theft and or vandalism have been reported. Friday afternoon, a woman residing in the 800 block of Quiet Harbor told police that sometime in the last 2 months, someone had cut the lock on her storage unit located at Clark and South Chestnut Streets and took a box of hand tools. The loss was estimated at $200. Saturday afternoon, an accounting firm in the 900 block of North Sumner Avenue in Creston reported that sometime between 10 p.m. Friday and 11:30 a.m. Saturday, someone threw a rock through the front screen and double pane window. The damage there estimated at $200. Sunday morning, a man residing in the 200 block of East Mill Street in Creston told police that sometime overnight Saturday and early Sunday morning, someone entered his home and stole two jump starters, three iPhone chargers, and his iPhone. The loss was estimated at $265. And Sunday evening, a Creston woman residing in the 1700 block of West Spencer Street reported that her purse had been stolen from inside her vehicle that was parked at 417 Wyoming Avenue. The purse contained various identification and other personal belongings. The loss was estimated at $50. Latest spell of cold, wet weather doesn't bode well for the spring season ahead as it makes renewed flooding all the more likely in early 2020. Hydrologist Jessica Brooks with the National Weather Service in the Quad Cities said she's concerned because a majority of the rivers in the Mississippi River Basin are already above normal levels and the soil is still saturated.
Moisture in the soil won't have the opportunity to dry out before we get into the spring season. A lot of it will likely be frozen into the soils once we are cold right now, and we're probably starting to see a little bit of the ground starting to freeze on the top layers anyway.
Brooks also says the winter outlook is normal to above normal amounts of rain and snow.
You know, if there's some things that you for sure wanted to make sure you get done before it floods again, maybe it's time to think about, oh, maybe you should do it now rather than wait till later. But it's not a situation yet that we would say, you know, start getting your resources ready because it's going to happen. We're not confident in that yet.
Some Iowans are still recovering from this year's record-breaking flooding along the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. Key factors to watch for in the coming months include winter and spring precipitation, how wet the snow is, how fast it may melt, and the depth of the frost. The Weather Service in Davenport will issue its first spring outlook for flooding on February 13th. Well, a public celebration of life is set for Wednesday in Des Moines to honor Iowa Supreme Court Chief Justice Mark Cady. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
Cady died unexpectedly of a heart attack on Friday. The memorial will be held at Drake University's Knapp Center Wednesday beginning at 10 a.m. Members of the public are invited to attend, and the family will greet the public after the service. Justice Cady had served on the Iowa Supreme Court since 1998 and was selected as Chief Justice in 2011. Governor Kim Reynolds ordered all flags in Iowa to be lowered to half staff through Wednesday evening to honor Chief Justice Cady. I'm Dar Danielson.
Iowa 4th District Democratic Congressional candidate J.D. Schulte will host a town hall in Exira this coming Thursday, November 21st, as part of his Don't Forget About Us tour. During the tour, Shulton will hold a town hall in a town with a population of less than 1,000 in each of the district's 4th District's 39 counties. Thursday's event will be held at the Exira Public Library beginning at 5 p.m. There's no charge to attend, and the event is open to the public. Shulton is running against incumbent Republican Congressman Steve King from Chiron during the 2020 elections. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds returned at the end of last week from a trade mission to Japan. Reynolds talked about the mission during an event held in Sioux City.
As we met with the different individuals that are marketing our products, they saw a lot of potential for us to not only capture some new market share, but to get back some of the market that was going to Australia. So it was really productive.
She says there's also hope the U.S.-Japanese trade agreement will lead to more opportunities.
We were hoping that it would get out of committee while we were there, and it did get stalled just a little bit, but as we talked to the different government officials, and especially with the embassy visit, they still felt very confident that it would be ratified in their Congress or the Diet. And they wrap up their session around December 5th. So the goal, and what everybody felt fairly optimistic with, is that they would get it through and then it would go into effect January, the 1st of January.
Reynolds said they also had good visits with companies that have invested in Iowa and have businesses located within the Hawkeye State.
It's not only about exporting our products, but also looking for foreign direct investment into the state of Iowa.
The governor says the delegation was able to make several pitch presentations as to why Japan would want to consider investing in Iowa. Well, the annual grand lighting ceremony sponsored by the Atlantic News Telegraph and Precision Concrete Services will be held this Thursday, November 21st, beginning at 5 o'clock at the historic Rock Island Depot in downtown Atlantic. The grand lighting event kicks off, as I mentioned, at 5 o'clock with a free hot dog meal provided by Hy-Vee. There will be free hot chocolate as well at the chamber tent. Santa will make a special helicopter arrival, weather and emergency pending, at 5:30 p.m. to turn on the lights and see his children in his cabin, sponsored by the Atlantic Rotary Club and the Atlantic Dental Center from 6 until 7:30 p.m. Don't forget to pick up your Christmas brochure from area retail businesses. Like the Chamber on Facebook or follow on Twitter to find dates and details to celebrate Christmas in Atlantic. Members of the City of Atlantic's Park and Recreation Department Board of Directors will meet this evening at 5:15 in the Council's chambers at City Hall. During their session, the board will discuss changes to the City's Code of Ordinances with regard to the board's powers and duties, the first reading of which will take place during the Atlantic City Council meeting this Wednesday evening. They'll also receive updates from Parks and Rec Director Bryant Rasmussen with regard to the Schulberg Recreation Area, portable toilets, the closing of roads at Sunnyside Park, the ice skating rink, an update about FEMA, and a report on the T-Bone Trailhead gazebo. Rasmussen is also expected to inform the board that fall decorations are set up at the entry signs to the city. Prairie seeds were harvested from the AMU well fields, and he'll speak with regard to other department matters. A couple of area school district boards of education will hold their meetings this evening. The Griswold School Board will gather at 5:30 p.m. in their boardroom. Old business on their agenda includes a regular update from KPE Architects and Estes Construction with regard to district facilities projects. New business or action items include considering the approval of resignations with consideration given to contract enforcement, a stormwater practices proposal, approval of a budget guarantee resolution, and information with regard to the Iowa statewide assessment of student progress results. In Elkhorn, the Exira EHK School Board meets at 6 p.m. in the conference room at the Elkhorn Building. Under old business, the board will discuss and or take action on approving personnel hires, transfers, resignations, and so on. The old board will then adjourn to be followed by an organizational meeting of the newly elected and returning school board members. And during the organizational meeting tonight, new members will be sworn in and officers will be elected and given the oath of office. Regular administrative matters will follow. In other state news, Pete Buttigieg is leaning hard on his seven-month deployment as an intelligence officer in Afghanistan as powerful credential, but the Democratic presidential candidate is walking a narrow path between giving that service its due and overstating it. As his support grows, Buttigieg can expect greater scrutiny of his military record in a climate where service is far from sacred. He's careful not to call himself a combat veteran, even as he notes the danger he faced. Former White House rival Seth Moulton draws a sharp contrast between his four combat tours in Iraq and Buttigieg's service. One of Buttigieg's former commanding officers says he thinks Buttigieg will be within his rights to say he's a combat veteran, but questions the use of a rifle in Buttigieg's ad. And Buttigieg was in Mason City over the weekend. Iowa and New Hampshire get to weigh in first on the Democratic presidential contest next year, but the states are not ethnically diverse enough to offer any insight into how a candidate will fare across the country, according to former U.S. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who said Sunday, "I don't think it matters what happens in Iowa or New Hampshire because those states are not representative of the country anymore." The former Obama Housing Secretary Julian Castro, who recently made comments similar to Reid's and suggested Iowa and New Hampshire shouldn't go first, said he'd like to see other states rotate into that early role. He noted that when he's in Iowa, he gets asked more questions about ethanol than transit, even though millions of people in the country rely on mass transit. Castro says he thinks Iowa and New Hampshire can still play an important role, but, quote, "I also believe it's time to give the other states a chance to go first." And Elizabeth Warren pushed back over the weekend in Iowa against critics of her newly released plan to phase in implementation of a single-payer health care system, insisting Saturday that she's fully committed to Medicare for all and that she plans to build the first on the existing health care programs because people need help right now. Warren said her commitment to Medicare for all is all the way. She was responding to critics who've questioned the timing behind the release of her implementation plan. Asked after a campaign event in Iowa if her decision to delay passage of a single-payer plan until the third year of her presidency was an acknowledgement of the political challenge she'll face in enacting such a plan, Warren insisted, "I don't see it that way at all." That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.